Philadelphia City Councilman Kenyatta Johnson is about to go on trial. Jury selection begins Wednesday. If that sounds familiar, it probably should. Johnson faced federal charges earlier this year. The jury ended up deadlocked. The case ended in a mistrial. So now it's round two, and to help us jog our memory and set us up, I've got WHYY reporter Aaron Mozell. Aaron, thanks so much for being here.
Sure thing.
Okay, let's start here, Aaron. Who is Kenyatta Johnson?
So Kenyatta Johnson is an elected official. He's been representing parts of Philly for nearly 15 years. He started as a state representative and then ran for city council, where he's been for about a decade at this point. In both cases, he's represented residents generally in the South Philly, Southwest Philly area. He grew up himself in Point Breeze. In terms of sort of his legislative priorities, he's sort of the anti-violence councilman. He has been the subject of some, I should point out, some unflattering coverage to do with development, which will become relevant to our discussion.
Well, let's get into that. So you set us up nicely there. What are the allegations against him in this case?
Right. So the allegations in this case, just for timing, date back to a period between 2013 and 2014. And they charge four people, obviously Kenyatta Johnson, but we also have his wife, Dawn Chavu, and a pair of former nonprofit executives for this company called Universal Companies, which operates largely in his legislative district. And the case centers on an alleged quid pro quo involving all four of these defendants. Prosecutors say that Johnson and his wife accepted nearly $67,000 in bribes from these two executives at Universal in exchange for a pair of political favors. And they further allege that that money, that $67,000, was funneled through a contract that his wife, Dawn Chavu, had with Universal, a sham contract, prosecutors say. As far as the political favors, the first alleged favor was that he introduced some legislation that helped Universal Companies hold on to a valuable property on South Street, a historic theater, the Royal Theater. And the other thing that he did allegedly for that bribe money was that he told a city official that he didn't support the city reclaiming some land that Universal had purchased from the city.
Okay, so the government, the federal government, is alleging there is this little rectangle of corruption here among these four folks, but they try to convince a jury of that and were unsuccessful. So who's now in the stronger position here, the defense, the prosecution on round two?
Right, so that depends who you talk to, as you might expect. You know, shortly after the mistrial was declared, I talked to some veteran prosecutors and defense attorneys, and they said, you know, the extra time to pore over the details of the first go-around could help either side. You know, you bring up that the jury has already heard this. So it's like, will a second jury feel differently? Will they be able to reach a verdict? And that's unclear because, you know, there are some attorneys that I spoke with who say, you know, this isn't really a strong case. You know, while federal prosecutors generally, by and large, only bring cases that they know they can win, and by and large, they do win those cases, this is not one of them, at least according to a couple of folks that I spoke to, because they just say there isn't enough evidence to prove this quid pro quo, this for that. It's just there's not enough there to make that case to a jury. Obviously, we'll have to wait and see who's seated and what they think of the facts.
Okay, so if this is kind of a difficult case, I wonder then if the government wins it, how it will affect how other council members and politicians in the city might do business.
Yeah, this sort of taps all this entire case sort of taps into this long debate here in Philadelphia about something called councilmanic prerogative, which on council, just for the uninitiated, there are 17 members, 10 of which are their district council members. And those district council members have substantial say, substantial power over what gets built in their district. And so anything that's related to development or things getting built, you know, if they don't have the support of the council person, it's going to have a hard time getting built in the end, particularly if you're talking about a project that, you know, needs to be taller than the city allows or needs to have more, you know, units than the city generally allows. And so in some ways, the outcome of this case could potentially have an impact on councilmanic prerogative, something that is not law but is very close in the way that
it's an established practice.
It's a very established practice, and even though there are many opponents of it, it has remained.
Yeah, I'm thinking in the future, perhaps a city council member will look back in this case, if Johnson is convicted, and say, maybe I won't act with such a heavy hand over this parcel or that parcel, because I don't want there to be an implication that I did it on someone else's behalf.
Yeah, it's possible that this could deal some kind of blow to councilmatic prerogative. I don't know if it'll ever disappear, but yet, in terms of decision by decision, it could, you know, instill a little bit of fear or make at least council members reconsider.
And whether you think that's a good thing or a bad thing probably depends on who you are in the city of Philadelphia.
Very much so.
Aaron Mozell from WHYY, thanks so much for the time.
You got it.
All right.